Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there, and welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here. I am so thrilled to get to be back after about 24 days away. Some of that was vacation, and some of that was sickness. Oh, my goodness. But in the midst of it all, we got the family down to the Grand Canyon there and had an amazing time. No one fell in. And we drove back. We flew in and drove back on Route 66. And what a trip that was. Route 66. I would recommend that to anybody. Anyway, it's great to be back, and thanks for all your prayers for me to get well. Some of you were praying that I would not get well. That's okay. I understand. I've had those bad attitudes, too. But we have Milan Jurkovic in the studio, along with Larry Sonnenberg, and welcome to you guys. But I especially want to welcome a new friend, Mark Cameron. Mark, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Steve.
Yes, Mark was raised in England, and London, England, and has worked with Milan for years and definitely understands how we love and attachment theory and all the things that we love about Milan and Kay that they know. And really glad that you're here. He went to school in Indiana, which is always good, at Huntington University, did some work at Trinity University International, and has the private practice there at Relationship 180, and Mark, we are expecting you to be brilliant today, so please don't let us down, all right?
I will try.
Okay. Well, you know, already, anybody that has any kind of British accent, I think, is more intelligent than the rest of us, so just having that, you have that in favor. Larry, you're coming off of an amazing weekend,
yes.
And I want you to tell us all about that. Larry does a meeting called the President's Association meeting. And tell us about it, Larry.
Well, we invite folks who we've come to know through the years who give to New Life and have made some gifts, little more than ordinary gifts.
Yeah.
And not everybody can come, but if those that don't come often give as well, say we want to be a part of it. Because the goal of this thing is to reconnect, meet them, have a few folks give some talks to them, and then they know coming in we're pooling the money that is raised at this event, and it will be presented out as a matching challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, we gave a matching challenge of $440,000.
Well, you can't top that.
And, well, we can't top it until this weekend. And God, I mean, God is so at work with New Life. It just is amazing. And it kind of scares me at points in my humanness to think, how are we ever going to match this one? Because we have a matching challenge for you of $706,420.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is pretty amazing.
And the request, that as we discuss things this weekend, we're going to say, because they said they'll have all their commitments into us by May 31st. And so we're asking you folks to have your commitments, your matching gifts to New Life, postmarked by May 31st. Or you could go on
a deadline there.
Yeah.
For the matching. Wow.
So,
well, it's wonderful. And these are the folks that know so much about New Life. They have the inside track. We know them well. They've been faithful and large supporters over the years. And you can be assured that if they gave, they know what we're doing here.
Steve, one of the attendees said this morning, you know what, it was like being with spending a weekend with a bunch of friends.
Yeah.
And that's what it was. And so as generous as they were, as God moved them, we pray that you will be just as generous.
Mm.
He'll give the glory for meeting this match. So thank you.
Yeah, and if you can do it, call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It is like being with friends, dysfunctional friends, but still friends at that. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, our program here, 1-800-229-3000.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. As I said, Mark Cameron is our guest today. Really glad that he is here. If you want to join us on the program, it's 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. Milan Yurkovich is in the house. I always love getting to do radio with him. 1-800-229-3000. So right now, we're going to go to our calls because that's what we do and that's what we love to do. And we're going to talk with Oscar. Oscar's calling us from Palm Springs, California, and he watches us on the New Life Live YouTube channel. You can go there and you can see everything right now. Oscar, welcome, and how can we help today? What's going on?
Yes, good morning. Good afternoon for you guys over there. Thank you for taking my call. Can you guys
Certainly.
Hear me well?
Yes, we can.
Oh. Yep. Okay, thank you. Yes, I just had a question because I'm dealing with a lot of anxiety and uncertainty. I just to give you a quick background, I am married. I'm 35. Been married with my beautiful wife since I was 19. Been an alcoholic since I was 17. So there's been an issue with my alcoholism, with abuse towards my beautiful wife. I just give her a lot of credit for standing, you know, being with me throughout all this time. And recently I asked the Lord to remove this habit of drinking, this addiction that I have, and by the grace of God, I do not want to drink anymore. And I just recently got baptized yesterday, so I'm doing the Lord's will, and I'm engaged, I'm going all in. It's just that right now my wife has just done a 180. She seems like she doesn't want to be with me. I don't know if that's part of it.
Well, hold on just a second.
Believe me or trust me, but I'm, yes,
let's,
yes.
Let's talk, Oscar. Let's talk for a second here.
Yes, of
course.
Now,
when you say you're all in, what does that mean?
That I do not want to abuse her anymore. I want to live a godly life now. I gave my life to Christ already. That's what I'm saying, that I'm all in. I'm all in towards my children and my marriage.
Okay.
That's what I mean by that.
Okay. Before this is over, I'm going to give you a different definition of all in. Okay?
Okay.
Because, Oscar, yeah. Even when people are miraculously delivered from something.
Yes.
The people that their lives impacted don't tend to instantly be delivered from their distrust and the hurt and the pain. Now, can you imagine being your wife who has been abused, who has watched you do this all these years? Can you imagine how she must feel you saying, I don't want to do this anymore. I have accepted Jesus. Can you imagine how insecure she must feel in all of those horrible feelings she has under that? Because the worst indicator of success is motivation. It just doesn't do anything. If you kill somebody driving a car, you are extremely motivated to be very safe in driving at that moment. But many people that do that drunk, they get back and get drunk again. Their motivation was high, but motivation wanes. And Jesus has saved your soul, and I believe he's brought you to us to hear that there's more to this than just accepting Christ. And if you want to be all in, you're going to get help now so that your wife never has to worry about what you're going to do. Because I don't know if you've heard the word powerlessness, but I believe if you have been abusive to her and drinking, you are absolutely powerless in and of yourself to stay off and to grow. And so if you're going to have a successful marriage and life, you're going to do what every other alcoholic does. You're going to get help. Mark, you have some thoughts here, and then Mylon, because I'm glad that Oscar has accepted Christ. Huge. I'm glad that he wants to do better. But what are you thinking?
Yeah, thanks for calling in, Oscar. I appreciate your question that you're wanting to do better. I guess I'm just wondering how long have you been all in? Have you said this to your wife before that you've been all in? I wonder if she's seen this before.
Yes, I have. I've done it throughout all our marriage.
Yeah, so it sounds like she's hesitant, and I hear you saying that she's distancing herself, and distancing or detaching is a way for her to find safety for herself. And you've said these things to her before, but she doesn't trust. And I wonder what else it is that you might be doing that to hold yourself accountable to show her that this time is going to be different.
Well, I'm obviously been going to church for the past 4 months. I've been loving her. I've been just trying to show her that I want to change. I've never.
But
done
it's not enough.
Long,
see,
sure.
It's not enough for her.
It's
right?
It's not enough. Yes.
Okay.
How are you holding yourself accountable, Oscar?
I do go to men's fellowship in the mornings on Saturdays. My mom and my dad are such pillars. They're believers. They are my counsel right now. My uncle. I do hang around with men, godly men in my life. So that's what's been keeping me afloat. But which brings me to my next question. I guess at this point I'm just afraid of me inputting all this time and her just not wanting to be married with me no more.
Yeah, and that's hard, and I can understand that. And that's a risk that you're going to have to take here. And I would say, Oscar, that you may want to go to your wife and sit with her and ask her and just be honest and say to her, hey, I've shown this to you before, and I know that I've let you down, and I want it to be different this time. And share with me, help me understand how I've hurt you in the past and how I've let you down, and what do you need from me to show you that it is going to be different this time. What, you know, how can I hold myself accountable? How can I show you that I'm holding myself accountable? And just acknowledge to her that it's understandable that she wants to detach from you and that it's hard.
So you're saying he should just ask her, what would it take?
I'm sorry. We've had this conversation a couple of times. We actually had a conversation last night, and she just, honestly, she's not showing any interest of getting back with me, believing me. She's showing interest in just being herself, being out and about, just doing her own thing. We share 5 children as well, so she's just not showing any interest at all.
Hear from Mylon here what he's thinking.
So Oscar, what I'm hearing in you is what I see frequently, which is a short term thinking, a short-term orientation. Mm-hmm. A lot of people with addictions think short-term. That is, they're looking, when they're agitated, my short-term solution is to do my addiction because that makes my addiction go, or my, you know, the agitation go away. And so here you are, just having done this repetitively multiple times. But here you are just a few weeks or months out, and you expect something to happen quicker than it really should in reality. And what I hear you saying is, I'm highly anxious. I'm afraid. I'm scared that she's going to take off or she's not going to come back this time. And I don't blame you. That's a very valid feeling. And maybe that fear and that anxiety will help to propel you into really being a person who stays sober for the next 50 years.
So tell me this. Why is it that you aren't meeting with other alcoholics and working a program for your problem. Given that what you've done isn't enough for your wife, why haven't you considered doing what most other alcoholics that stay in recovery do? Just tell me, why isn't that an option?
It is an option, sir. I actually go for the men's fellowship. That's a bunch of wretched guys right there, so they have a bunch of problems with alcoholism, so I've engaged there. But if you're referring to like an Al-Anon or an AA meeting, is that what you're referring to?
I'm referring to like a life recovery meeting, Celebrate Recovery, a Christian program,
yes,
where Jesus is the higher power there.
Yes, but that is my next step.
And I think that's what I was trying to get to earlier, Oscar, when I was asking you, what are you doing to hold yourself accountable? Because I would guess if you've committed several times and you've not been able to follow through, she's probably had efforts where she's tried to hold you accountable, tried to see where you're at. And now what she's doing is she's detaching. That's her way of making herself feel safe. And the only way that she can know that she can trust you again is if she sees you holding yourself accountable, if you're going to these support groups, if you've got godly men in your life who you're following up with, if you are sharing with her and asking her how she's feeling, if you're following up with your kids and checking in with them, if you're holding yourself accountable, if you take that role in your life, then others won't have to take that role for you. And then she can start to feel safe. And then you might see that she stops detaching and she comes a little bit closer, but it's going to be the long game for you right now.
Yeah.
She's going to have to build that trust for you, and it's going to be hard.
So, Oscar, give it a year instead of a few weeks or a few months, and I'm scared. Tell her, take all the time you need, honey. Take all the time you need.
But ask her,
she told me.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that take all the time you need, but I'm going to be doing what Mark and Steve have said. I'm going to be in a group. I'm going to be working very hard. And it's there that I'm going to take my fears and anxieties, because all addicts who pull away from their addiction feel very anxious and very fearful, because it's a new world to them without having their feelings sedated. Give her a year.
Yeah, and it's no wonder that things would be really hard, because you are not retreating back into the alcoholism.
Right.
And it's important that everybody knows, when you become a Christian, your teeth aren't instantly capped. You don't have, your cavities don't go away. It doesn't fix everything. You're still a person. You still need to grow. And the people you've impacted, they want to see more than, hey, I'm not going to do this anymore. Or I'm going to go to this nice little Bible study here. Do something you're not comfortable with. I'm going to go to a 12-step meeting today. I'm not all that comfortable going to a 12-step meeting, but I'll be there today. You do that too, and you won't regret it. I was reading this morning Ralph Waldo Emerson, a quote by him. He says, "The only person you're destined to become is the person you decide to be." And if you want to be a recovering alcoholic versus a relapsing alcoholic, you decide to find other recovering alcoholics and you go and you spend time with them and find out what exactly are these people doing here. And then you do that. That's the decision you need to make. Let's go to Gina. Gina is calling us from Los Angeles, California. Listens on KKLA. Hello, Gina.
Hello. Hi. I'm calling because I wanted to know, my nephew is sending my sister to me to see if I can help her.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's the best idea. She's just shut herself off from the world. She doesn't talk to them since December. She stays in her room and she just doesn't communicate with them whatsoever. I text her, I call her, she doesn't pick up. And I don't know, if she doesn't talk to me on the phone, will she talk to me in person? They're sending her from Missouri to California to be with me, but she's not talking to me. Will she talk to me?
How old is she?
I don't know if that's the best idea.
How old is she?
She's 47.
47. 47. And she was living with whom?
Her two boys.
Okay. And who's sending her to you?
The boys, my nephew.
The boys. The boys are saying, go there, get help. All right, we'll talk about that in a minute.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Before we go back to Gina, I do want to mention that I'm going to send to Oscar the Life Recovery Bible and the workbook. Now, there are five workbooks. One is the general workbook. Another is a workbook that helps you get through divorce. And another one, using the 12 steps to grieve. Pretty powerful. And then there's one for sexual integrity, working the 12 steps for that, and then divorce. So if you don't have those, call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and get it. I was thinking about this proverb at the break, Proverbs 28:26. He who trusts his own heart is a fool, but he who walks wisely will be delivered. And wise people have other people walking with them. Mm-hmm. You just can't do it alone. And you can't do it by doing tidy things. You have to do some uncomfortable things. All right. We're talking to Gina now, and here comes the 47-year-old sister, and her boys have said you ought to go live with Gina. She could help you. Gina, you must be something else for them to send her your way. That's wonderful.
No, actually, that's the problem. I don't know. If she don't talk to me over the phone, she don't return my text, will she talk to me in person? I'm afraid.
Well, here's what I say. Is she on her way, or is she still back with the boys?
No, not yet. In 2 weeks, she's coming.
Okay. Well, you need to draw up a little agreement. We call it a contract around here. And she needs to agree to those things before she comes. One of those things would be that if you're going to come here, you have to agree that if I text you or I call you, you're going to respond to that. That'd be the first thing. You guys, what do you think would be helpful for her? 2 weeks from now, here comes the woman that won't even return her phone calls or respond to texts.
Yeah.
Hey, Gina. So
no, she won't even talk to her own boys. She's not talking to the boys, and they're in the same house.
Gina, how old are her boys?
24 and 22.
Okay, so they're pretty young still. And where's their dad?
Divorced. He's actually here in California.
Okay. And so her boys are sending her to you saying, hey, we need help.
Well, they think that maybe if she talked to me, I don't know, but she's not. That's the problem. I think if you send over here and she's going to sit in a corner and shut them, she's shutting them off and she's going to come over here and shut me, but she's not talking to me on the phone. And I said, if she's going to come over here and do this, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to, I don't know.
Is this behavior new, Gina? Has she been like this for a while? Is this new, this behavior?
December. I asked the boys, how long has she been? They say December, but I noticed it too, because whenever I text her during the holidays and I call her, she doesn't respond.
What happened in December?
I don't know. That's what I asked the boys. They say they don't know either. But the only thing I can think of is that our mother passed away a year ago, and I don't know, but I thought she was coping fine. We talk about it often before.
Yeah, grief is a funny thing, right? It tends to be seasonal for us, and you're right, the brain works by association. So if your mother passed away a year ago, close to December, you know, just the changing of the seasons and some of those things could have triggered some of that grief to come back for her. But
she won't talk about it. At least you talk about it. We can comfort each other, but she won't talk about it at all.
Right. So it sounds like that's her way that she's learned to keep herself safe, by closing it all in, by not bringing it to the surface. And I wonder if when she gets out to you, if you'll be able to somehow draw her out with some questions, with maybe asking her about how she's been feeling lately, if she ever thinks about your mom.
Okay, because I tried talking to her on the phone, and she just like no, and then she just hang up.
Okay. So, Mylan, what do you think here? Well, we need some good wisdom for her before this disaster happens.
Gina, you're a little panicky here.
Yeah.
You're scared.
I'm worried.
I know you are, and I hear that. What am I going to do? What if she comes out here and does the same thing? And if she's not talking to me there and not answering my texts, what am I going to do? That's why I'm glad you called us, because Steve said something that was important. You need to create an agreement that – and Gina, are you married?
Yes.
Okay.
My husband is worried too.
Good. Well, that's good. Then the two of you are worried together. But what I want the two of you to do is draw up a plan and require your sister to agree to that, which would include the following, that she would tell you why she has been silent. Some people shut down and withdraw when they're hurt and mad. Now, has your sister ever shut down and withdrawn historically in years previous? Has she ever shown this pattern before?
No, never. Okay. Not like this.
So this is not typical behavior. So that means something else is going on. Like Mark said, there could be very much a seasonal referencing to her mother's passing. But there's also another thing. There could be an unknown factor that we do not know. There could be something going on that has scared her, traumatized her, that has harmed or hurt her in some way. And so you need to also have in your plans a counselor that you can go to as two sisters for help. We'll come back.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zipper Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Another hour and a half. We're going to be here with Mark Cameron. Larry Sonnenberg's going to come back in. Mylan Yurkovich is right there. We're finishing up with Gina. But if you want to join us on this program or one right after this, it's 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. So, Mylan, you were talking with Gina. I have a couple of things to finish up with, but what do you think's best for her 2 weeks out here?
Well, Gina, you're going to need help, as I was saying earlier. And what I would do with your husband is I would find a counselor in your nearby area, wherever you live, and that I would go with your husband before your sister gets here to the counselor, and I would say, here's what's going on. We have a sister who's just shut down. We don't know why. We don't know what to do.
Yeah.
I am thinking she was somehow traumatized. Perhaps, again, as Mark already suggested, just the realization that her mom's gone and she has no covering anymore. That could be a very big thing. And then if she's divorced and her boys are growing, she could be going through a real crisis of who am I, what am I, where am I?
Yeah.
All right? maybe also she's been had some other trauma that we don't know about.
Well, at the break, you mentioned maybe there was a relationship, a date, or whatever.
Maybe she was with somebody, or maybe she was harmed in a relationship. We just don't know, but you need somebody to help you draw that out. Yeah,
but,
okay.
But right now, she won't talk at all. Over the phone, I call her.
I understand.
Should I tell the boys to do this ultimatum before she comes?
Well, she has to... You need to get a piece of paper in her hand that she can read and agree. I mean, she's going to get on a plane, right? You know, she's going to fly from St. Louis or Kansas City to LAX. So, you know, that means she's agreeing to something. And you need to be able to tell her this is part of the agreement. You're coming to her house, and we're going to talk, and we're going to get help to learn how to talk together as a family.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to just again say that you need a simple agreement.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That says, here's some things. And also, has she told you how long she's staying?
No, that's the thing. My husband said, what if she stay permanently? I say, well, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
Don't cross that bridge when you get here. In the agreement, you say that she's going to be there for 2 weeks. Now you're in control of when she leaves, not her. You don't want to leave it open-ended. And so if at the end of 2 weeks you need her to go, and I'm going to give you a reason why you might, if you need her to go, then it's all in the agreement. But you might say, okay, well, this is going well. You're responding to the counseling. Let's stay another week or two. But here's why you need to go see that counselor. You're very anxious right now. You're very upset about her, and the chances of that impacting your marriage are about 100%. So you need to have that counselor help you and your husband figure out some strategies to survive the walking trauma that's going to come in your door. It's going to impact your relationship. So you don't want to let that happen.
Yeah. Okay. So, no, the question was, do you think it's a good idea for my nephew to send her to me? Because I was going to tell them, don't send her to me if she's going to be crazy like this. I don't know.
Gina.
I was
going
to just say no.
Gina, is an option that you can go to her?
Yeah, I told them in the summer I will come to her because right now my children is in school and I can't leave them because they're underage.
I understand.
Well, I want to tell you this.
During the summer.
The chances of me inviting my brother to live with me if he wouldn't even return my calls or text, if he hangs up on me, the chances of me inviting him to come stay 2 weeks are zero. Zero.
Yeah, that's what I told my nephew.
Well,
I said,
it makes no sense.
Yes, that's what I was telling my nephews.
But... what you have to also accept, Gina, is this may be a gift from the Lord. This may be something that is being engineered because here you are calling us. You see, you are trying to get help, and the boys cannot do it. It's their mom. She's twice their age, and they are appealing to Aunt Gina to please help mom. Now,
that's exactly.
I know Aunt Gina. I promise I won't call you Aunt Gina for the rest of the call here.
No, it's good, Larry.
No, I'm not Larry. You're Steve, right? So anyhow,
seeing him in the monitor.
I know he'll be here in a minute. He's already in the studio now. Gina, listen. I really want you to believe that. Okay, maybe the Lord has put her into our lap to really help her, and. A counselor could really help to see if she is in a deep chronic depression, and because it sounds as though she is, medications could completely change her life.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that you really need to be is on top of it, and this call is illustrating to me you guys are being proactive and trying to get some help.
Yeah. Get with that counselor that Mylon's suggesting there, and it is a valid option to say to those boys, she can't come right now,
right?
And there's some things that we would need to have in place for her to come. Number one, she'd have to start talking to me on the phone. Right. I can't have her coming if she won't even talk to me without hanging up. Things like that. Very, very practical. All right, I'm going to send you the Emotional Freedom Workbook, and I'm going to send you my own case book, How We Love. And I think you're going to develop some insights into your sister from that book, How We Love. It's just fantastic, the kind of insight people get. Oh, here's the most common thing I think. It's, oh, no wonder. They read that, oh, no wonder we're having this struggle, or that the person turned out the way they did. So I'll send that to you also. Larry Sonnenberg is back in the studio. Larry, and we need people to step up and help match this amazing gift that we were given. Over $700,000, and we have just about a month to match it.
Yeah, and I just wanted to, at the top of the hour, I mentioned last year's match. It was matched in a little over a month. And the thing I wanted to just add on to that is the people that matched it overmatched it. It came, more money came in than what we were asking for.
Yeah.
So our goal this year, when we made our budget, was $500,000 to be able to ask folks to give as a matching seed money to support what we do. And it came in at $706,000, and I'm overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And everyone who gave or committed to this pooled resource has been touched by the Holy Spirit through what New Life does.
Hmm.
It's not what we do. We point to God, the power of His Spirit, because He reaches down and touches hearts and minds. He gets the glory. We don't get the credit. And it's the same thing for this match. You know, thank you to each person who gave.
Incredible.
We are grateful to you. We're grateful that God touched your button of generosity. Just knowing that your gift will make a difference in the lives of people, that's what motivates us.
Yeah.
And I'm not downplaying that, but praise God for pouring out the generosity.
You know, I think people that give to us have two things. One is a generous spirit combined with compassion. They hear the stories, they know the people have needs, and they give generously to it. And I absolutely love that and hope that you all will respond to their compassion and generosity. Yeah. Anything else you want to add to that, Larry?
Can I add something to that?
Sure.
I think that the people also have gratefulness. Who give?
Amen. Yeah, gratitude.
The gratitude is powerful because they listen to the show. They come to our workshops. Their lives have been changed as a result of this, and they appreciate it.
Yeah,
and that is true. Most of the givers are people that have benefited from a service.
Absolutely, yeah. And those services, Steve, to use your word, cost money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, to be on the radio costs money. We buy airtime as a Christian radio show. And then the scholarships, Larry, that we give away to people, pastors who come and their wives. It's incredible.
Yeah.
So, folks, we're asking you to give generously so we can point to God and brag on Him. We want people to see how great He is, that He took something that seemingly was not going to happen or couldn't happen in a normal situation. But this is not normal because God's going to touch your generous spirit. So pray. Go ahead.
Larry, I just want to say, and you're part of this matching gift. I'm part of this. All of us are part of this. We don't just expect other people to do what we don't do. We want you to know our heart is here. So call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you can help us, it's double when you do.
Steve, final thought is, your decision to give money to any ministry, church, ministry like us, any other, is between you and God. And we'll just let that be, and you make the prayers and the decisions based on that.
So we'll be back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Our phone number, we're going to be here another hour, 1-800-229-3000. Before we go to Kathy, and I'll get to you before this program's over, I was just reading about this guy, Richard Curtis. His story was in a book called If I Could Tell You Just One Thing. Richard Curtis is the playwright for Four Weddings and a Funeral, Notting Hill, and Love Actually. He's really good. But he's also the co-founder and the leader of Comic Relief, The Red Nose Day, Make Poverty History, and Live 8. They say hardly anybody's done more in Hollywood to bring out the generosity of other people. But here's what he said. He said this: none of us should ever underestimate our ability to change people's lives. There is a direct cause and effect of what we do here and what happens over there. But if you want to help, you have to actually do something. You can't just talk about it. And so my motto, if you want to make things happen, you have to make things. And that's what we did here. We made a ministry to help people that struggle. And he says, support the places where people are struggling. And he says, I want to make wonderful things happen, and I want to make them funny, if at all possible, for people to enjoy them. But you have to do whatever you need to do. He says this: if I talk to a person and they say, I can't give money, he says, I say, fine, but I'm dying inside because a child is going to go hungry if that person doesn't give. And we have a great attitude around here, too, but we know this: we can't do this without you. There's a person that can get a scholarship if you'll give, and there's a person that won't get that scholarship if you don't. I love Richard Curtis's movies. I love his generous spirit and the things that he's created. If you can't create something, support the people that created something that you're interested in. And if you can help us, you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. All right, I'm going to go right now over here and talk with Kathy, Oklahoma City, Kathy. And then also, well, Kimberly, maybe you can hold on there for us. But if you want to join us on the next program, too, it's 1-800-229-3000. All right, Kathy, how you doing? Oklahoma City, good to talk to you.
Hi, thank you. I'm fine. I just want to present my question to you best way I can.
All right.
14 months ago, I discovered that my husband of 45 years has been using porn and acting out with himself. This was very, very shocking to me because he is a strong Christian and actually ministers at times. I discovered the problem. He did not confess it to me.
Mm-hmm. What did he say he would do? Did he say he would do anything as a result?
His exact words were, I can fix this.
Mm-hmm.
And to my knowledge, he has stopped all the activity as of now. Mm-hmm. There's nothing taking place now. And at first I was very understanding, and I actually apologized to him. Three separate occasions I've apologized to him for my failure in whatever might have caused him to do this. And which he says it's rejection that he thinks is the reason why he turned to this. But we're 14 months later, and he still has not made any kind of confession or any kind of a real apology. And I am visibly, he can see that I'm shaken. I'm still very upset, and I've asked him over and over. I've asked him, please, you know, I need you to talk to me about this. I need a real apology from you. I need to talk about what happened, why it happened. But he refuses. He refuses to talk about it.
Now, you listen to the program. Why not suggest to him to go to Every Man's Battle?
I have been praying about that and really thinking about that a lot.
Because we give them the tools to make that full disclosure. You know, when by the time they're finished, they're able to tell you, and then you know what you're dealing with. I just think it could really be the beginning of sexual integrity for him. Let me ask Mylon and Mark, what would be your suggestion in her interaction with him? She wants information. She wants him to confess. He's not doing it.
Yeah, well, I appreciate, Kathy, that you're taking responsibility for marriage problems that your husband might have felt. rejected or isolated, but you are not responsible for him acting out
in this way.
He's responsible for it. And I hear you saying that you don't, as far as you know, he's not continuing. But this is an addiction done in secret. And if he's, I think the first step to recovery is admitting and bringing it out in the open. And if he's not willing to admit and talk about it, I'm not sure that I would guess that he's in recovery right now. He may just be hiding it in different ways.
Yes.
From you. And the other call I gave some similar advice here is, I think whenever someone's in addiction or in recovery, they need to be holding themselves accountable. He needs to be telling you what he's doing to hold you accountable, not just you holding him accountable. And there's other ways that there are things that you you both can do together. There's apps out there that can restrict access. But he needs to be in a group. He needs to be he needs to bring this out into the open, and I would challenge him on that.
Yeah. And partner with you in the recovery.
No one.
Kathy, you sound like you're afraid of your husband.
Yes. Yes, there's been abuse.
Oh, okay. Mm. That adds another element. And so, you see, there has been a compromised marriage for a long time.
Yeah.
And what Kathy has to do is she needs to not just respond to the presenting addiction per se. It's very important to use that as a starting point. But you really need to stop and say, what do I want? I want a relationship that's different, because he's been holding out on you emotionally. He has not been truthful with you. It's more than just the addiction. He's been lying to you. He has been cheating time from you and the family. He's been robbing you of intimacy.
Yes, he has.
We're out of time. So what I would say is, you have a lot going on here, and I would hold him to very high standards, which means we are going to marriage counseling.
Yeah, at least that. And then, you know, we do every man's battle every single month. And there's nothing wrong, given that he has abused you and has done nothing here, to say to him, you know, bottom line, the minimum is you need to go to every man's battle. We're doing another one May 13th in Orange County. By the way, if you're struggling with anything, Emotional Freedom is online this weekend. That workshop with Chris Williams, Jackie Mac Harris, and me, it's live, and it's online, and it's this Saturday, April the 30th. I think you'd love it. Then the following Saturday is our online Transforming Grief workshop. Oh, I can't wait for that. It's going to be fantastic. And, of course, we're doing Restore July the 15th through 17th in Dallas, and Mylon and I are going to Washington, D.C. for Intimacy in Marriage on July the 22nd. All the people that we've talked to today, there's an extreme limitation that you have because you're human. And somebody saying, I'm going to deal with this myself, you haven't fully understood that term, powerlessness. We're not helpless, but we're powerless under our own energy and strength to do it. So we need to surrender to the all-powerful God. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, if you can help us. Here's the number if you want help for this next program, 1-800-229-3000.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.